Opinionated Marketers,
a podcast from Cambridge Marketing College.
Charles, you found a wonderful article on 2022 vocabulary.
Yes, yes indeed. Well, we all have new terms and jargons that we have to keep up with. And this one comes from one of the major agencies, Wunderman Thompson, who are always producing their views of what might be happening in the future. They did a very good Future 100 sometime in the early beginning of this year, which I would recommend listeners to download. It's quite an interesting, quite extensive look at the future. This one, though, is quite literally a short list of some terms, 10 terms they think will come to be used during the year, some of which are rather amusing, some of which are potentially quite stimulating in terms of their ideas. Cryptonomics is the one that first sticks to my mind, which is the budding crypto-based economy, crypto coins like Bitcoin and Ethereum get more traction, and they've been debated about for so long. The question, of course, now is do people see refuge in them given the state of world politics at the moment, or abandon them as being unsafe? But the idea of the cryptocurrency based on the blockchain is something that hasn't gone away. So cryptonomics, an interesting one to think about, and how your company might actually take part in it.
Yeah, it links quite nicely to NFT elites, which was the suggestion there's going to be a new class of VIPs who own digital assets as virtual status signifiers. So in the same way that elites have driven up the price of physical paintings by well-known artists, which then go for huge sums as a status symbol, the suggestion that that's going to be transferred into the NFT world, which has some quite interesting implications, both on the amount of energy that NFTs require. It's the same as your cryptocurrencies. The digital mining creates energy consumption, but also I wonder if it'll affect the price of some of the physical elite status symbols if everybody moves to these online ones.
It is a very interesting one, isn't it? Because there's two aspects here, I think. One is the almost desperate search to find the latest area where assets will appreciate in value, given the fact that there is inflation and everyone is looking to find areas to put their money, and the fact that there are always new innovations that everyone wants to get in on first. I personally am still unconvinced about NFTs, but it is an area where the price for these items is astronomical. Even The Economist, which decided to dip its toe in the water and see whether or not an edition of one of its cartoons, I think it was, would sell, was gobsmacked by the sheer six-figure sum that people were prepared to bid for it. And I think that's quite an amazing thing in its own right. So, yes, NFT elites, but it does, I think, also bring about the point you're talking about, which is one that needs to be concerned, and to some degree perhaps isn't in here, which is the fact that you're talking about significant amount of electricity consumption for Bitcoin mining and things like NFTs. And the ecological aspect does not actually find a new terminology here, which I think is missing. There is an element called microforests, which is the rewilding of small urban spaces. But I think that Wunderman are missing a trick on here in the fact that I'm sure there are going to be new terminologies for the ethical and environmental issues.
They have a Puritech, which I misread. Now, their description is it's innovative biotechnology solutions to combat the effects of air pollution. What I actually thought it was going to be Puritan tech or Puritan changes, because I do think there is a rise. I do think there is a rise of people turning their backs on. We know the younger generation is to a huge extent starting to turn their back on alcohol, and are driving a massive push into sophisticated adult non-alcoholic drinks. Mm-hmm. And I thought I I think there is something around moving away from wanting all these status symbols and understanding the environmental implications, and was therefore expecting a sort of Puritan, I don't mean that pejoratively, overview, but there's nothing in here that suggests that we might be moving away from our current mindsets.
Yes, I think, yeah, that's very true. The one that I would pick up on, which I found really quite interesting, is brandalism. Mm. This is the idea of vandalism against brands. There's a particularly interesting picture of a poster in, I think it's in London, of a car with the headline, "Ignore the kids, burn the planet." And it's been put up by a collective of artists and activists called Brandalism, which attempts to bring to the public mind those corporations that are not doing what they say they're doing. And I do see that that probably will be something that will arise as more and more guerrilla marketing is used by people from the elements who want to bring corporations more into line with what you might call the ethical and environmental lobby. But the other one that I thought was rather interesting was SheCovery. What did you think of that?
Yes, the introduction of corporate programs and initiative to optimise the workplace for women in the face of the She Session. I'm not quite certain what the She Session is. It doesn't explain it. But the SheCovery, it does fit in with a lot of understanding about, there's been so much about menopause and menopausal workers in the news and companies introducing training programs around it. I mean, I was slightly uncomfortable with this one. I thought there should be an element of it's really talking about inclusion here, isn't it? It's talking about optimising workplace to include people who may have other responsibilities, including caring responsibilities, childcare. But I think to assume that that's all SheCovery, I was a little bit uncomfortable with.
I think the element of the She Recession or She Session is the fact that the impact of the pandemic on the workplace has been disproportionately higher amongst women than men. And therefore, this is meant to bring it back to being something that is much more attractive to women to go back into. It's an interesting term, and I think it's certainly from one perspective, with quite a lot of the discussions one sees these days about misogyny and the way in which certain corporate bodies do seem to have a problem with this, I could see this getting a lot of airplay.
Clearly I'm going to be pro it, but I do think it's a little bit narrow in the definition, but certainly anything that makes the workplace more open to people wanting to work there, enjoying working there, and being able to fit it in round other things in their lives, I think would clearly be something great to have. But yes, SheCovery and She Session were interesting phrases.
The final one that came to my mind as being something that actually probably is a very interesting new opportunity is the direct to avatar products. Mm. This being the rise of the embryonic metaverse and the various incarnations that that brings about means that some brands are now looking at directly selling either B2B or B2C retail or products which are available in the digital space so that they can be seen on screens and in digital forms either prior to being made physical after, if you like, testing them in the digital sphere and seeing what the reaction is, or indeed actually trading them in the digital sphere because they are things, if you like NFTs, but they are essentially commodities or small items which you use when you have a digital presence. There are, I believe, items that are now being sold as your own digital persona on various social media channels. So the direct-to-avatar marketplace may well be one that we need to think about from a branding perspective.
Yes, and it also fits in with the liminal spaces, which was the breed of physical spaces overlaid with digital elements. And the example they give there is actually the Royal Shakespeare Company's Dream, which was physical and digital, which I seem to remember, Charles, you went to and weren't particularly impressed by.
It was rubbish. The idea is brilliant. The technology of actors wearing motion suits and then superimposing the motion onto a screen gives a lot of sophistication in terms of the way in which you can interpret all sorts of movement and dance and representation. The way it was unfortunately done was very poor. But generally speaking, the idea of taking actors and making a digital presentation of it is one part of the move from a lot of creative companies into the digital space following the pandemic. You know, theatres, orchestras, and indeed galleries are moving increasingly into the digital space to represent their products and services because it's a way of reaching a much wider audience than would otherwise be captured through the physical presence that they might have in one or so locations. So I do think the liminal aspect is an interesting one. One would see that as being something that has an extension of, you know, just bringing in large screens, etc., into retail stores. But it can now be taken, I think, much more integrated. I do remember walking into a Burberry store, it was a few years ago now, but they were quite, I think, at the forefront, and they basically welcomed you each time and asked who you were so they could look up on their tablet if you've already visited their website or bought from them, and then they would have all your details so that they could direct you to, you know, the right sizes for you, clothes to match the ones that you'd already purchased. So the digital integration, I think, has just been taken a next stage further, which I think is good.
Fantastic. Charles, great as ever to talk to you. We've been talking about the Future 100 2022 vocabulary. We'll put the link out. You may, of course, always want to look back at the Future 100 2021 vocabulary and see how much of that actually came true. It's on the same link. Charles, great to speak to you.
Thank you very much indeed, Karen. Bye-bye.
Like and subscribe to this feed for more podcast content.
From Cambridge Marketing College.